Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I'm a former middle school teacher, current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. And so that's what we talk about on this podcast. I share ideas and strategies. I tell stories of the things that worked for me, but also those big epic fails, because ultimately I believe that teachers play a profound role in helping students reach their creative potential by empowering them with voice and choice. So today we're going to be talking about something that happens a lot in projects, and it's something called project fatigue. And we're going to talk about how we can handle project fatigue, how we can prevent it a little bit, but also how we can recognize you're never going to completely prevent project fatigue. And before we get started, I just want to share something quickly. If you don't follow me in other spaces and you enjoy this podcast, you might want to connect with me elsewhere. And so I want to share a couple different places where you can find me. One is on YouTube. My YouTube handle is @SpencerEducation. I've been doing a lot of these short 1 minute videos. I create some long form videos that are anywhere from 5 to 20 minutes. I also have sketch videos that you can use. I have video writing prompts that you can check out. So all of those are available on my YouTube channel. If you don't follow me on Instagram, I love making carousels where you just swipe over to learn new things and get new ideas. Again, short videos as well. And that is at Spencer Education as well. And then the other place that you can find me is on Facebook. And my Facebook handle is facebook.com/, you guessed it, again, Spencer Education. And there you can check out some ideas. I share some resources, but mostly in that space, I post questions, share some shorter thoughts, and I really enjoy the community and the dialogue that we have together. So please feel free to connect with me in any of those other spaces as well. So on this topic of project fatigue, I'm struggling with work right now. It's not a matter of a toxic work culture. I actually work with an amazing team of educators at my university. It's not the work itself either. I'm not falling into the busy trap of doing tedious work that doesn't fit my identity or my purpose. I don't have writer's block, right? So I'm not struggling to come up with ideas. I'm not dealing with fear or anxiety in the work that I'm doing. The truth is, I love the work that I'm doing right now. I'm often finding myself in the zone and hitting a state of sort of creative flow. However, I'm having a hard time today at the moment. And here's a quick snapshot of my life. I'm actively revising Boost PBL projects as we shift from the beta launch to the legitimate launch that we'll be doing at the end of the summer. I'm also rewriting and reworking the current draft I have of the AI roadmap. If you've read Vintage Innovation, Empowered at a Distance, Empower Launch, you'll know that I love to put my sketches inside of my books. And this one is gonna be no exception. So I'm also doing a lot of drawing. I'm working on the initial framework for an ELD, English Language Development curriculum. It's a project that won't be available for at least a year, and it's all about empowering ELL students with voice and choice, and I am so excited about it. I'm also writing my first draft of Doug and Cat, a middle school mystery graphic novel about a dog and cat who solve mysteries together. I've been leading workshops and doing keynotes around the country, and I've got one coming up here in Columbia real soon. Meanwhile, I'm writing blog posts, making podcasts, interviewing experts, making videos. As a professor, I'm in this sort of 4-week break with no current courses, but I am prepping for the 6 courses that I'll be teaching that spread from May through July. On top of all of that, I am a dad. I'm going to baseball games. I'm dealing with a puppy and all that that entails. He's getting older, but he has a little bit of separation anxiety sometimes, And you can hear him grunting a little bit in the distance. Isn't that right, Zeus? Yeah, he's asleep. As a dad, I'm going to baseball games, driving my daughter to ballet, stuff like that. And my wife and I are really making a priority of every single week having a date night. So this is a great life, right? Like, I have nothing to be complaining about. None of what I'm describing is draining. Okay, sometimes the puppy has been a little bit of a drain in terms of just, I forgot how hard it is to train a puppy, but he is a sweet little, not too little, he's a Great Dane guy. But I point this out because this is all the type of work. When it comes to the actual work I'm doing, it's the work that I love to do. But I am feeling exhausted right now. And I explained this to my friend AJ Giuliani. He's the guy who I co-wrote a lot of my books with, and he and I do projects all the time together. And I said to him, I'm tired. I love what I'm doing, but I'm feeling like I'm doing too much. I overcommitted. I am tired. And his response was the following. John, you and I love to live in a place where our cups are full. And maybe even overflowing a little bit. Yeah, it's too much. Yeah, you are overcommitted. But it's too much of a good thing. That's all. Your cup is overflowing, but you're not burning out. So when possible, take a break. Take a week off and then jump back in. AJ's right. Today, I'll be revising my deadlines to make them more realistic. And it might mean my book is out a little bit later. I plan to take a full week of off from my creative projects next week. So when I go to Colombia, I want to be truly present there and just enjoy the culture and have fun. I'll explore the city instead of going to my hotel and working on a book, right? Now, what AJ was describing was a sense of project fatigue. It's a feeling of weariness and frustration that can occur when people are faced with things that are too challenging for too long, when the demands of a project become just overwhelming. And over a long period of time, project fatigue can lead to a true sense of burnout. But in the short term, it's more likely to lead to a decreased level of motivation, decreased productivity, and an increase in stress, right? So that's what it typically leads to. Project fatigue can arise due to various reasons. It could be unrealistic deadlines, insufficient resources, a lack of clear communication, or a lack of progress on the project, just hitting a wall over and over and over again, and you just hit a state of project fatigue. See, there you go. I don't know if you can hear that in the background. That is Zeus, the Great Dane. In my case, I hit a few early roadblocks in certain projects, and I failed to adjust my deadlines or delay my projects. Notice how most of these projects that I mentioned are self-imposed deadlines. The only external deadlines I have are the courses that I teach at the university where I work. In other words, I did this to myself. I get it. In the past, I have hit project fatigue in a different way. That's happened when I volunteered for too many committees, took on too many school projects, all while coaching and leading an extracurricular program, right? Those were my moments of project fatigue. And those moments were harder because the project fatigue involved tight deadlines and external expectations. This was far more stressful. But the same thing can happen with students. And so this is where I promise you we're getting to the student piece. They often hit project fatigue when doing too many projects in too many classes. Often schools will shift toward PBL after state testing is done. And while it's really awesome to see places embrace PBL, what can happen is that students are working on too many projects at the same time. And often they'll hit this midway point in all of their projects. And when that happens, they end up hitting a place of project fatigue. again, project fatigue can happen in any phase of a project, but it really hits worse in the middle. There's usually this midway lull that happens. And I want to share briefly the science behind the midway lull. And so if we think about midway here, I'm describing that moment in the middle of the project. I'm not describing, you know, the airport in Chicago, the lesser of the airports in Chicago. That was such a bad, like, dad joke. All right, the science behind the midway lull. Project fatigue is actually a really common phenomenon. I would say it's more common than it is uncommon. Like, it happens more often than it doesn't. And at some point, the excitement of a project will fade and the fatigue sets in. We see this in PBL. There's often this midway lull where you begin to wonder if students even care about the projects anymore. Students seem to work more slowly. There's more bickering within the teams. And this is why it really helps to adjust our expectations ahead of time. When I plan out projects, I tend to focus on a sort of linear model with students working equally hard at each phase of the project. But what I find is that students actually tend to work in spurts with big bursts of energy followed by lulls. It's less like a marathon and more like an interval workout. And I would argue that that's actually not a bad thing, right? To work hard in a phase and then to sort of slack off a little bit is not a sign that you're being lazy or that you're struggling. It's your recovery time. Often the lull will be where you end up having an incubation period as you quietly sort of solve problems almost subconsciously. It's a time where you recover from the period where you'd just been working harder. We need that. For the longest time as a teacher, I blamed myself for this midway lull. The way I saw it was I had failed to motivate my students to work hard enough through the projects. If only I had created the right structures, they wouldn't be procrastinating. But the truth is, researchers have demonstrated that these phases of bursts and lulls are actually a very normal part of any project process. And this happens individually, and it happens in group projects as well. For example, in a lab study where participants had to cut out pictures, think old school kindergarten before the pressures of standardized testing, and the participants were slower and sloppier in the middle than they were at the beginning or the end. In his book, When, Daniel Pink profiles Connie Gersick's research on group dynamics within projects, and she observed workers in industries ranging from finance to medicine to banking to computer sciences. And while their approaches differed, she noticed patterns of high productivity bursts followed by lulls. The middle is often when teams experience the uh-oh effect, where they realize that they are in the midst of project fatigue, and suddenly they need to kick it into gear, and work harder if they're going to accomplish their goals. So that's the midway point. Daniel Pink describes it as these three different phases. One is the form and storm. In this phase, teams will go through a honeymoon period where they get to know each other, followed by a stormy period with conflict. And this phase can look unproductive because the teams are emphasizing relationships rather than tasks. And as a teacher, you see this when the first few days in a project, it might seem like group members are working slowly, they're struggling, they're being social. That's actually a very normal part of the process. Then we move to phase two, which is the midpoint. The team hasn't accomplished much, and a general malaise has set in. And this is the moment where if you do a quick assessment, students will begin to understand, oh my gosh, I should actually accelerate. And so there's, you know, in this moment, there's of the midpoint, they're either going to kick it into gear and hit a state of acceleration, or they're going to drop to a place of defeat. When it's well functioning and a group is doing well, they'll move into phase three where they are going to truly perform. The team is working seamlessly with clear goals and a sense of progress. Each member works interdependently with other members, respecting one another's roles and responsibilities. They'll often work their hardest as the project comes to a close. And on both an individual and collective level, we all tend to work fastest when projects come to a close. So that's a really normal phenomenon that we all experience. So that's a normal thing. Like, the midway lull has been scientifically demonstrated. We know that it's going to happen, and yet it can feel really hard when it does. So how do we prevent project fatigue? Or if not prevent it, how do we handle project fatigue? Some degree of project fatigue is likely going to occur in any long-term project, but I want to share a few of these ideas. Number one, adjust your expectations. So when I first planned out PBL units, I treated productivity as constant, but I learned that I was planning for the best possible scenario lens, right? The truth is, group dynamics break down. Students argue with each other. Kids have bad days where they just don't work as hard. Other times, students get risk averse and they fail to start a task on time. Problems occur, systems fail, fire drills happen, unexpected assemblies abound. That's going to happen. And this has actually been demonstrated by the behavioral economists Kahneman and Tversky. They called it the planning fallacy. And often it takes a task about 1.5 times longer than what you anticipated ahead of time because of this very common planning fallacy. So often project fatigue connects to student disappointment with how long tasks are taking. So what does that mean? We need to adjust our expectations as teachers. And also, we need to help students adjust their expectations when, for example, they fall behind a little bit. So for that reason, we want to build in a little bit of wiggle room inside of our projects. Number two, use something like a design thinking framework. I'm not going to get into the design thinking framework in depth. I will say, however, that the goal here is that you're setting up phases in a project and guideposts in a project, right? So Launch Cycle has these seven different phases, and it really breaks it up. Remember, if it's normal to work harder when you're finished with a task, what you see here is students actually work harder as they come closer to the end of a phase. And so what you're almost doing is you're taking that full project and turning them into, well, sort of almost mini projects. And what I found is that really helps prevent some of the project fatigue that might happen in a traditional middle of a project. That leads to point number three. You always want to set benchmarks for your projects. So you want to have clear benchmarks, deadlines, and you want to have students engaged in project management. Just a heads up, next week, our podcast is going to be all about how to empower students to own the project management process using AI. So we've been talking about AI a little bit on this podcast. We're going to be talking about AI and project management. I'm super excited about that. The fourth idea is to take project breaks. So sometimes you just have to take a day off. Sometimes project fatigue sets in because of the sheer monotony of the work. And while boredom can sometimes spark creative thinking, too much boredom works against intrinsic motivation. I remember that was one of the interesting things that I did a side trail, a rabbit trail that I pursued for about a week when I was doing my doctoral research, and it was all about boredom, creativity, and motivation. I was fascinated by it. It had nothing to do really with my dissertation, but I loved learning about that whole relationship because I'm a nerd. So if you've ever found yourself in a rut during a project only to walk away from it for a day, maybe it was a home improvement project that you're doing when, you know, we were peak COVID numbers and social isolation and we're all working on things at our house and you just hit project fatigue, you probably noticed after you took a day off or sometimes a week off, when you return, you have a fresh perspective and often you'll have new ideas. You have a renewed sense of energy, and these breaks actually sometimes lead to creative breakthroughs. They provide rest, they give us incubation period for ideas. They are really important to have. So what that might mean is that during a PBL, you take a day off from the project entirely. And instead, on that day, you do a more traditional lesson. You do a history mystery. You do a Wonder Day project. You do a Socratic seminar. Or you do, you know what, some lecture, note-taking, reading together as a class. And you just take a day off from the project. That's all. The fifth idea is to be cognizant of multiple project demands. So what that means is, we don't want to do PBL 100% of the time. This fifth one often happens in schools where they have, you know, devoted themselves to PBL. Everyone does PBL. They're a PBL school. They're all about PBL. And what happens is sometimes in those moments, it becomes too much. I once visited a PBL school where students attended multiple block scheduled classes and engaged in these collaborative projects. When I met with a small group of students, a common theme emerged. They wished they could be in a traditional school half the time and PBL school in the other half the time. One girl put it this way, "I never thought I would say this, but sometimes I just wish I could sit down and take notes and listen to a really good lecture and maybe like a discussion or a Socratic seminar." Now, what's going on there? She is hitting project fatigue. When I was teaching eighth grade, I had our entire team. I was a team leader, and we were all so focused on PBL. But I noticed the same thing to be true. When I surveyed the students, they overwhelmingly reported deeper learning and more authenticity in PBL, but they also overwhelmingly chose fewer projects when I asked about the frequency. Some of them actually said, could we just do mini projects or short projects? We used to do some design sprints. And as we debriefed the results, students described the complexity of setting your own deadlines and managing multiple projects in multiple classes. They mentioned the frustration of daydreaming about multiple projects and feeling like they couldn't completely focus just on the current project they were doing. I realized something critical at this moment. Going 100% PBL might just be too much of a good thing. Without realizing it, we were pushing so much voice and choice without thinking about cognitive load. So we changed it up. We created more interdisciplinary projects and we paid attention to project schedules to create uptimes and downtimes for our students. We soon discovered something else. In our embrace of PBL and design thinking, we had neglected some of these so-called traditional strategies that actually worked. And so we ended up going with a more blended approach that had PBL, yes, but also had things like direct instruction. In the end, we want our students to know how to engage in collaborative work and persevere when things get challenging. If they know that project fatigue is a normal part of the process, they will learn the habits and mindsets to get through it. But this requires projects, real projects. So it's really important that they're doing projects that matter to them. Even when that happens, though, and this is critical, they will still hit project fatigue. It's going to be a normal part of the process. And if we can address it and prevent it a little bit and take it as it occurs, we'll often find that students will learn this lifelong strategy of how to deal with project fatigue without giving up. Hey, thank you so much for listening. Would you do me a favor? If you enjoy this podcast, would you leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or Spotify or wherever it is that you get your podcast? That would mean the world to me. It's one of the best ways for folks to find this podcast. Again, thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day and go out and make something awesome.